This is James D. Sistrom, Associate Librarian, recording on Friday, May the 8th, 10:30 a.m., the graduation program of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Olin T. Binkley, President, presiding. Invocation, the Reverend Dr. John I. Durham. The scripture, Old Testament, the Reverend Dr. James E. Tull. New Testament, the Reverend Dr. Edward A. McDowell, Jr. Conferring of awards and degrees, the Reverend Dr. Olin T. Binkley. Charge to the graduates, the Reverend Dr. John T. Whalen. Benediction, the Reverend Dr. Olin T. Binkley.
Father, we invoke thy presence upon this happy gathering as we turn aside from our daily tasks to recognize an important milestone in the lives of all who are assembled here. We thank thee, Father, for these dedicated young men and women who today are to be graduated. We thank thee for those devoted wives, those loving parents, those loyal friends, those sincere church members whose prayers and spiritual and financial support have made possible these years of special preparation and study. We thank thee for the great denomination which has made this institution possible, and for our wise and good president, this devoted faculty, and the board of trustees who have made this school a reality. Most of all, we thank thee for thy gracious presence which delivers us and sustains us, and for thy wondrous love and guiding spirit which have called this school into being and all of us to study and worship here. It is, above all, thee whom we honor here, and we pray thy blessing upon the witness we now would give. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The reading from the Old Testament is found in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 11 through 19. For this commandment which I command you this day is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you this day that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land which you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and cleaving to him.
The New Testament lesson is in two parts. The first part from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the 21st and continuing through the 26th verse, and the second part in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him renounce himself and take up his cross and follow on with me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ Lord.
Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary presents a few awards for distinguished work. I recognize Professor George Shriver, Jr., who will present two awards.
President Binkley. The Staley Church History Award during the academic year of 1963-1964 for excellence in term paper research is made to Mr. Richard L. Park for his paper entitled Nationalism and the Council of Constance. I'll ask Mr. Park to come and receive the award. Award of a Dictionary of Theology is made to Mr. Coleman D. Clark, Jr., for his paper entitled The Uniqueness of Jesus Christ in the Mormon Religion. I will ask him to please come and receive his award.
I recognize Professor Leo Green, who will present an award.
President Binkley, Dr. Green. Dr. R.T. Daniel rendered outstanding service to Southeastern Seminary as Professor of Hebrew and Old Testament Interpretation from 1952 through 1959. Shortly after his death, a fund was set up by some who loved him, the interest from which constitutes a cash award to be given each year to a student who, in the opinion of the professors in the area, has done exceptional work in the field of Old Testament studies. This award is to be used for the purchase of Old Testament books for the library of the receiver. This year, it is my very happy privilege to present this R.T. Daniel Award to Mr. James Howard II of Durham, North Carolina, in recognition of the high quality of work that he's done in his Hebrew and Old Testament courses. Will Mr. II please come forward?
We desire to recognize the families and friends of all our graduates. If you are a member of the family, or a visiting friend of any one of these students, we want you to stand as his or her name is called and remain standing until the certificate or diploma has been received. We are now ready to present certificates in theology and degrees to candidates approved by the faculty.
President Binkley.
Dean Durham.
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the certificate in theology that you may present to them that award.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I award each of you this certificate in theology with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your certificate.
Samuel Oladipo Amal. Hubert Barnes. Charles Billy Burton. Alvin Francis Butters. Roy Eugene Champion. Pascal T. Childress. Thomas A. Clark, Jr. Raymond Eugene Ergel. Thomas Allen Hayes. Grover C. Holder. Barbara Russell Hood. Julius Elton Hunter. Nicholas M. Imbastaro. Joseph E. Lauchek. Hollis McFarlane. H. J. Norris. Max L. Pendleton. Ralph Howard Pless. Thomas T. Rawls. Ursel Lee Robinson. Walter Ray C. John W. Spencer, Jr. George C. Waller. Stacy A. Wells, Sr. Donald Hicks Wilson.
President Binkley.
Dean Durham.
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Bachelor of Divinity, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Bachelor of Divinity with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your diploma.
Gilbert Iva Adams. Joseph Charles Allard. James Edward Allen. Frederick Tolliver Badders. William Edmund Baker in absentia. Robert Ernest Ballard. William David Barr. Oscar Hugh Barrow, Jr. James Edward Balcom. James Robert Bennett. Alan Eugene Beverly. Robert Ricks Boone, Jr. James Darrell Bowen. Dempsey Aaron Calhoun. Dwayne Riley Campbell. Raleigh Fountain Carroll, Jr. Raleigh R. Castillo, Jr. William Michael Chertock, Jr. in absentia. Thomas Lee Clark. Coleman Daniel Clark, Jr. Robert L. Coates. Daniel Ellis Compton. Stephen Kirkman Creech. James Bernard Crocker. Richard Wayne Crockett. Raymond O. Daniel. Donald Paul Davis. James Wilson Dunn. Ronald Keith Edwards. J. James Howard Ellington. James Heiserman Epps. Boyd Leon Farmer. Francis Marion Fenderson, Jr. Dewey Warren Ferguson. Harold Everett Fite. William Jacob Furr. Stephen Yance Gant. Clyde Guerin. Francis Paul Gibson. Joseph Minor Googe. James Hamilton Grayson. Thomas Wood Green. Robert Francis Green. James Albert Griffin. Horace Livingston Halls, Jr. Marvin Denver Hayes. Joseph P. Hester. Fred Forrest Hicks. Jesse Gaston Hill, Jr. Roy Lee Hood. Wilbur Wesley Huff. Charles Jesse Hewlin III. Robert Kendall Husky. John Cod Ivins. Grady Harrison James. William Edgar Jeffcoat, Jr. Anthony Wayland Johnson. Charles David Johnson. James Landrum Johnson. Charles Franklin Jones. Stanley Helms Kelly. Otis Calvin Kendrick. Floyd Ray Key. Charles F. Kindred III. Robert Alexander Lattimore. Cecil Eugene LaWing. Clifford Allen Lawrence. Quentin Kinzer Lee. William Barker Lee. Samuel H. Letson, Jr. David Eugene Lynch. Willard McAllister. Jeffrey Mercer MacArthur. Larry Ray McClure. William Virgil McDaniel. James Ernest McKay. John Herbert McKay. James H. McKinney. Joe David McLean. C. Aubrey McClellan. Don Guy Malone. Jesse Ray Mansfield. Dale Ross Martin. Huell Edward May. Robert Landon Meredith. John Aubrey Miller. William D. Mills, Jr. Jim Moore. Joel Lee Morgan. James Lloyd Morris. Henry Vernon Napier. Archie Coleman Neal. Charles Brand Parker, Jr. George A. Parker. Sherman Russell Parsons. John Gilmore Patterson III. Marvin Curtis Patterson. David Edward Pope. Christopher Burt Potter, Jr. in absentia. Don Lamar Powell. Billy P. Presley. Leonard C. Quick. William Grady Rich. James Theodore Robertson. Philip Lee Royce. Charles Wesley Samuels. James Broadus Sansbury. Jeanette Scott. Willie Shepherd, Jr. Weldon Willard Shows, Jr. Herman Lewis Smith. John Leonard Spain, Jr. Jimmy Lee Steele. Charles T. Stevens, Jr. Carl Lee Strickler. Roy Orlando Swift III. Charles Lewis Tanner. James Howard II. Jack Lee Thomas. Gary Boyd Thompson. Robert Young Thurkill. George Fenton Turner, Jr. Larry Cloyes Turner. Walter Allen Tuttle. Charles Edward Tyson. Phillips Brown Walker, Jr. J. L. Ward. Billy G. Washburn. Charles Edward Webb. Kelly O'Dell Weeks. R. Rural Westbrook. Raymond Henry White. John M. Wood.
Richmond, York. President Bigley,
in Durham,
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Theology, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Theology, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to be invested with the Master's Hood and to receive your diploma.
Jack V. Caldwell. Dwight W. Cooper. James Hutton Costin. Joseph Lafayette Giles. Harold E. Hurst, in absentia. Ted James. William Harling Puckett, Jr. Malcolm Donald Sides, in absentia. Norval Dean Smith. Milton Preston Snyder. Jussie Goncalves de Salsa. Larry Corliss Williams.
Rudolph Malcolm Wood.
I present Professor John Wayland, who will deliver a charge to the graduates.
President Binkley, distinguished members of the faculty, fellow students, ladies and gentlemen, I congratulate you men and women of the graduating classes. You know that the days of a man's life or of a woman's life are not democratic. There are high and holy days, the day when you found the Lord Jesus Christ, the day when he called you to a special vocation in his church, the day when you enrolled in this institution for a particular purpose. Today is a day that is high and holy in your life, an aristocratic day, a day that you will long remember. I congratulate you upon your accomplishments, upon all that you've done here for the Lord Jesus Christ, for your denomination, for the Christian Church, past, present, and future. I congratulate you and your loved ones, and I'm sure that you will render well in keeping with the blessings that have been put upon you. May I remind you, however, of the words of the New Testament, "To whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more." Henry F. Cadbury speaks of Jesus' principle of proportionate duty and a proportionate responsibility. I tell you frankly that when I think of this principle, I tremble myself, realizing all the blessings that have been mine and the joy of Christian service in this place. Let us think about it for a moment. The principle of proportionate duty, the principle of proportionate responsibility. All through Jesus' teaching, we see this principle at work. The rich are shamed by the poor widow's two mites. The well-behaved elder son is shamed by the prodigal who is repentant. And you know, when that story is told, it is the elder son who is lost outside the father's house. The waster, being repentant and received, is inside. The priest and the Levite are shamed by a mere foreigner of another religion, of another nation, the Samaritan. The Jews, for all their privileges, will be lost someday, says Jesus. Those who have been cast out, they will be in the kingdom. For many shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and will eat at the messianic banquet. Jesus criticized the Pharisees not only because they were blind, but because they were leaders and had such terrific responsibility. They were the best people of his day. But being blind and leaders, how great was their condemnation. Even when we turn to the Old Testament, we find this principle. The great prophet Amos hears God say of his people, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore will I send upon you all your iniquities." When I think how this is and probably will be applied to our own nation, when I remember all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, realizing that in a very real sense, in culture and in education and in spiritual opportunity, we are very rich, living, as it were, in a mansion surrounded by people in huts, abiding in slums. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. Yes, Jesus expects of you and of me the more, the plus, because we've been given the more and the plus. We're in that favored few. Today, then, I congratulate you with joy, but I also give you the warning that I give to myself. Jesus is our friend, but someday we may find him our enemy. Have you been acquainted with Jesus, the enemy? As we read the Gospels, we see that he was a friend to the outcast and to the dispossessed, but he was indignant with the rich, the blessed, the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees. Oh, we say he did that to the scribes and Pharisees, but not to us. But he does today, my friends, to the seminary graduates and to the professors. We see today Jesus, the enemy. Thomas Carlyle thought of this when he said, "How different is that honey-mouthed, tear-stained, soup-kitchened, shovel-hatted Christianity from the stern-faced Christ of the Gospels, proclaiming aloud in the marketplace with such total contempt of the respectabilities, 'Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!' But you and I have forgotten all that. We've put that in the past. We've robbed Jesus of his uncompromising hatred of wrong. We've reformed him according to our convention, our tradition, our convenience. We have pigeonholed him. We've put him in his place. You know, we like to keep people in their place, in their places. We think of Jesus at Christmas in the crib. We think of him during the Lenten season or near Easter on the cross. Or we think of him as he walked in Galilee 2,000 years ago. And so we find him easy to live with. We have made him the most comfortable person of all to become acquainted with. We've made him a defender of our status quo rather than the challenger. We've made him the soother of our consciences rather than the one who disturbs them. Why is Jesus our enemy? Sometimes, in some circumstances. Why is it that he doesn't like us? What is it that he didn't like about the Pharisees, about those whom he condemned? Well, first of all, he condemned people who made religion a matter of forms and ceremonies rather than a way of life. We talk about people of other denominations who are apt to do that when we think of their church services, but we're apt to do it in our own way. They are pacifists. We are activists. We have a programmed business of much ado about nothing, vitally religious, altogether too often. Swinburne spoke of a minister who served up half a Christ. Luckock said, "Verily know that when God comes, the half-gods shall go." Jesus was against those who forgot to present him as he really is. In the second place, Jesus is our enemy when we are hypocritical. If there's anything that everybody knows about Jesus, he was against hypocrisy, a public show of religion. They robbed the widows' houses, but they were the ministers of God. They oppressed the poor, but they were the ministers of God. Sincerity is an absolute necessity for you and for me. It is an essential, and we don't fool the people. They know us as we really are. We must never become professionals in religion. We must keep the amateur spirit, or else Jesus will say of us, "Whitened sepulchres." So very attractive on the outside, so very pious looking and acting, beautiful in performance, but on the inside filled with filth, evil, sinful thoughts. Oh, today we don't have the kind of hypocrite that's pious so much. Some are like that. But today we have more of the inverted hypocrites, I call them. People who are not sincere, who put on the veneer of life a bit of worldliness, though inside they do know Jesus and they love him, but they're so afraid that someone might think that they're ministerial, and so they react the other way. They want to be a fellow of the world in the eyes of their parishioners. I'm sure that Jesus is disturbed by either extreme, by either hypocrite. I speak to you as to myself. Jesus is the enemy of hypocrisy. Thirdly and lastly and more important, or most important of all, Jesus was against those and is against those who would limit his witness, compromise his cross. You remember that on one occasion he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Oh, some say that you're John the Baptist or one of the prophets," and so on, so on. But he said, "Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" And he said, Peter spoke for them and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." But it wasn't but just a few minutes later, when Jesus was talking to the disciples about his fate, how he would have to go to Jerusalem and there he would be crucified, and Peter said, "Oh, that can happen to others, but never to thee, O Lord." And Jesus looked him in the eye. Blazing were his eyes when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things of God, but of men." Now, Jesus didn't say that. That's the King James Version. He spoke in the language of the people. What he really said in common English was, "You devil, you. You're not on God's side, but man's. Jesus can be your enemy and mine." We have had the great revelation. In a sense, we are the Peters of our day. There is a temptation to compromise his witness in a confused time like ours. There is a temptation to be a coward and to compromise or refuse his cross. David Lawrence, in speaking to American citizens in the U.S. News and World Report, said, "Evil survives in the world primarily because good men fear to make the sacrifices that must be made to win and retain freedom." He says, do we know the future? Why, of course we do. The real question is whether we're willing to meet its tests, whether we will let greed and selfishness reign where we know there must be generosity and unselfishness, whether we will be craven and cowardly where we know we must be brave and resolute, whether we will extend the hand of friendship and with love open our hearts to other human beings, or whether we will shirk the obligations which inner conscience and the pages of history tell us to fulfill. With faith in God and in his wisdom, we can face the challenge of the future, courageous and unafraid. These are the words of a layman and a journalist, but they are worthy of our mouths. Do we live them? Do we limit our Christ? To do so is to betray him and to find him our enemy. Montefiore reminds us, Jesus teaches an excess in virtue, an excess in forbearance, an excess in gentleness, an excess in giving and yielding, an excess in living. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The world knows about excess. We should know about it in the other way. We have then this principle of proportionate responsibility. To whom they commit much, of him shall they ask the more, the plus. What is the plus? The plus, my friends, is the cross. Let us deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow our Lord. You are a great group of persons committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that you will be a plus for his kingdom, for his church, and for his people. May the Lord God of our fathers make you 1,000 times as great as you are in the Spirit.
Eternal God, who art the light of the minds that know thee, we commit to thy care each member of this graduating class and each person in this quiet company of thy people. Send us forth with confidence in the power of truth, with high regard for one another, and with durable devotion to our Lord and His Church. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.